is a monthly podcast brought to you by the network, where we spend an hour each month having formal discussions around career hot topics, including talent development, pillars for 2020, emotional intelligence, education, skill development, and networking with prominent leaders in business and also our communities. Today, we are honored to have Eureka Cozy and Daryl Goines, both directors in the technology field. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hopefully you all are relaxed and ready to go and have a powerful discussion, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. So one of the things that I love to do is to start out, just set the tone, set the atmosphere, set the temperature in the room. And I want to know, everyone knows that my favorite drink in the morning is that dark roast Starbucks with 5 pumps hazelnut, 2% milk, miso. I think I've raised the return value probably. Everyone's going out and getting it right now. Y'all think? Maybe. Okay. All right. So what are you, hey, you never know. So what have you settled in this morning with as we have this casual conversation over the next hour? What have you settled in, or your beverage, your drink of choice? Let's start with you, Eureka. What's your drink this morning?
My drink of choice is just plain old black coffee with a little bit of stevia. So I am not as fancy as your drink, but I will have to try it.
Okay. Now I got to ask. Now my mom, of course, Eureka, my mom still goes with the mini coffee, instant coffee, right? You know, Folgers. Is that what we're talking? Are we talking Folgers?
I'm a little bit fancy. I have a Keurig. So it's just a Keurig. A dark roast. So
I say that with all respect to my mother. I'm just saying, All right. So we're going with the Keurig. That's cool.
I haven't heard anybody using that in a long time.
All right. Awesome. So Daryl, what's your beverage of choice this morning?
I'm going to say, Phil, you wouldn't be welcomed in my house. We are we're big Dunkin' Donut fans over here. So it would be a Dunkin' Donut, French vanilla kind of thing with some equal and some cream. That would be my choice. This morning though, I'm on the K-Cup route. I'm given everything. I'm working from home. And it would be, I got one of the K-Cups also, but it would be an Italian Lavazza. My wife has gotten me to be a coffee snob over the years. So I drink a Lavazza K-Cup now. I can't even drink the normal stuff.
Well, Daryl, I I'm glad you're smiling because there's hope for us all with this Dunkin' Donut stuff. But that's okay. That's okay. All right. This is good. We're ready to have a great time. Let's be powerful in the moment. And Eureka, I want to start with you in our discussion today. Talk to us, both of you, but starting with Eureka, talk to us about your career journey, how you got into your role, and then what have you found to be critically important as leaders in this technology space?
Of course. So I've been in the technology space for probably the past 20 years. It didn't start off with me in the technology space. I actually was in the fraud finance type of space when I first started my career, which was very, very interesting. But as I grew and started to learn about technology, I actually moved over into an IT type role, but I still was doing something that I love, which was training. It was just technical training. Mm. And so I moved from technical training to a more type of leadership position where I wasn't doing the training. I was actually developing it. I was actually consulting with different organizations. And then I got the call that my company was actually setting up a big data organization. So I applied, and lucky for me, all of my technical knowledge that the little bit that I thought I had, and then the project management skills, the detail skills, the analytical skills that I learned along the way served me very well, because I got a job in a big data department. I think I was like employee number maybe 20 in that organization. So it was a startup, and that excited me, being a startup organization. Technology's new, everything's new. And what I found is that me being a trainer, being able to translate that technical speak to something that's more palatable to an average individual served me very, very well in that organization. And I moved up and up, and I they changed the name to Chief Data Office. And now I am responsible for data security for my company. So that's kind of how I got into the technology space. It's not something that I went to school to learn or I majored in. I'm still learning every day. So that's kind of how I landed in the tech space.
That's powerful. So I hear you were evolving all along the way, right? And I love your space for training, because I trained over 20 years with the leadership TU, AT&T, T University, the leadership development side. So that's powerful. That's powerful. Awesome. So talk to me, Daryl. How about your path, your career?
Oh, I was way more of a dweeb than she was. She was probably cool. I grew up, I've been in the tech industry for well over 20 years. And yeah, I'm a classic software, engineer type. I started out working, developing software way back in the early 90s. So it's been a ride. I found myself more of a technical person from the very beginning. And did some great projects. I worked on a lot of good, early technology projects where, in subjects like, cable systems and even IP networks and stuff like that. And then, that was really fun and satisfying. I had some really good work working in the labs and stuff like that. And then the iPhone showed up. And I was like, wow, this is some cool technology. And I said, I've been doing networks a long time, but I really want to do some of this mobility stuff with this iPhone stuff. So in the early aughts, I picked up a whole new set of technology. I went over to mobility, and I basically learned how, the mobility network, and that's much of what I do today. From that standpoint, I lead a team of like technical engineers who support mobility selling. I do network to network mobility connections and stuff like that. And, it's been really good to me. I mean, I'm a builder. I'm probably more of a software kind of guy who builds things. And, when Eureka said that she translates that technical speak into something for the non-technicals, that is a great skill. I mean, that kind of thing has served me well, and it serves anybody who could do that well. If you can do that kind of thing, you will always be successful. So that is a really good model.
Mm-hmm. So Daryl, what I hear you saying is you naturally just jump right in, and that's your path. Would you say that's your passion? Initially when you started out, was it your passion? Both Daryl and Eureka, but Daryl, you started out. Was it your passion?
Yeah. I was one of those guys. I was one of those people who were I really wanted to be a mechanical engineer. And then I tell a story of I can't make a toaster work. So I had to pick a new skill. But then I learned there was software, and it didn't have to
right.
have a screwdriver.
Daryl, you're killing me. You're killing me, man. Okay, that's good. How about you, Eureka? How about you?
This was not my passion very early on. I actually have undergrad. I went to school. I was pre-med. Probably about senior year, I was like, oh, my God, there's no way that I can go to to med school for another 4 years. Right. I kind of want to stop school and just kind of breathe a little bit. So I finished my degree in biology. I'm originally from Arkansas. And so Altel Communications had a branch in Arkansas, and I knew someone that worked there, and they got me a position into the fraud department there. So That's kind of how I started. I kind of fell into this space. Now, I always call this data security and data privacy area my first love, because I'm really passionate about it. So That's kind of how I went a roundabout way. I wasn't as smart as Daryl and just knew exactly what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be when I grew up. I took the long route around.
I'm with you, Eureka. I'm with you on that. I wanted to do pre-medicine, but go figure. I couldn't stand the sight of blood. Go figure that there was something wrong there. I had to find my way through it, you know. All right. So Let's continue on. So talk to me, Eureka Steele. What would you say are the hot technologies today? And with that said, what do you predict will be the next big thing? Daryl talked about the iPhone when nobody saw it coming. What do you predict will be the next big thing 5 years from now?
5 years from now, it would probably be about IoT, how to navigate IoT, how to protect IoT. I know you guys hear stories all the time about the smart cameras and Alexa listening in and how you balance that security and privacy space. That's one area. Analytics and data science are also going to be very, very hot and heavy. We produce so much data on a daily basis about ourselves that how do you analyze that and market and advertise to individuals? I think that's going to be a hot topic for the next five to 6 years. Yeah.
Okay, Daryl.
Yeah, she's got it. I mean, I think you'd look at it and you'd say things like, you know, with the amount of data we're generating from all this, all these applications and software, anybody who analyzes big data, you know, a data scientist or anything like that is going to be like, you know, that's going to be that technology thing. That's going to be the thing that you're going to, you know, people are going to deal with a lot. And that and a lot of, you know, that cybersecurity kind of stuff where, you know, you're protecting that kind of data. Those are probably the hottest current technologies. If you're thinking about way out in the, you know, in 5 years, and I'll give you one out there. Machine learning, computer vision, all that stuff, that AI stuff is going to be really hot in 5 years. It's going to be the thing. So I would tell you to look out for things like machine learning. There are a lot of good works going out on software works going out on that. So,
All right, that's good. So, you know, as you're thinking about that, what's to come? What's happening now? How do you stay abreast of it? So much is being said on continuing the education, your education in technology. So, let's talk about this. So now, Eureka, you said that wasn't really what you were looking for, you know, technology. I can concur with that. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't where I was planning on going. So when people ask me as I was a trainer, Phil, what was your path? What was your success? I'm like, it wasn't this. You know, you find people that say that. So much being said on continuing education in technology. What are indicators that someone won't cut it in the technology field, or is there hope for us all?
What I would say is that because technology is changing at the speed of light throughout this journey that we're taking, is that if you aren't willing to learn something new and willing to be flexible because new things are being introduced. Mm-hmm. I think that that's one skill that you would need to kind of be in the advanced technology space. I'll mm-hmm. say that. Mm-hmm. is that I learn something new every single day. And I love that about my role because it is changing every single day. And so mm-hmm. one of the skills that I would say is the ability of you wanting to learn and soak up as much knowledge as possible and research on your own different things. I can remember when I entered the big data space, Google was my friend. They would say some terms right. in meetings that I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would Google terms or I would get with someone after the meeting. Luckily, we had an open space where I could hear the data scientists and the data engineers and enterprise architects on the calls, and I could hear their conversations and learn that way. But mm-hmm. I do think that you have to continue to want to understand and learn as much as possible on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting. You said, well, I'm going to hear from Daryl on this. Daryl, and talk to us. Do you agree with what Eureka stated? You want to learn more and remember, you learn new things, especially in the advanced technology areas. Talk to us more about that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, going forward, technology is changing everything. I mean, from, you know, digitization and transformation of process, you know, that's everywhere. So everybody is going to have some sense of technology and what's, you know, and technical skills around. I think to do advanced technology stuff, she's right. I mean, the main attribute is you got to be able to learn what is new. I mean, and what is new is definitely not going to be the same thing that was new 2 years ago or something like that. Being on mm-hmm. that bleeding edge, being in the bleeding edge of something is what makes this technology stuff tick. And if you're unwilling to learn what the latest thing is, then you'll quickly fall behind. And you know what was a, you know, cloud technology that was 4 or 5 years ago has blossomed into this big area, and now it's taking on new directions. If you don't have that willingness to jump on new things or jump into new technologies that interest you or are going to be important, it's going to be tough mm-hmm. to be in the advanced technology field.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me more about that, Daryl. Is there anything else, like you're saying what I've heard both of you all say, you have to want to learn new. Okay, so what are some other additional qualifications, shall we say, characteristic attributes of that person who could do well in technology? We heard Eureka talk about being able to analyze, and she says some other things. She's touched on a couple of other things earlier. What are your thoughts?
Attention to detail. I mean, you got to be willing mm-hmm. to say, "Hey," and these aren't technical skills. These are skills that makes most employees very good. You got to have a great attention to detail. You got to be willing to continually change how you do something to make it better. I mean, if you are if you have a process, if there's some way you do business today, and you have to be able to think out of the box to get to the better way of doing it for tomorrow. And it might include some technology. It might include interacting with new vendors or customers. But you got to be willing to continually improve. And those mm-hmm. are the kind of things that bring, you know, someone who's going to be in this cutting edge field, you know, to success.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Eureka, you want to add anything to that?
No, I was sitting here thinking when Daryl was talking, and I find this in my space a lot, and I see how it impacts the way that I lead, and also impacts skills or people that don't really, that need this type of gratification. They need the praise. They need job well done. I find in this space, it's more about how you feel about it yourself. You feel a sense of accomplishment when you figure something out. That goes a long way, and that's not something that's going to be probably put in front and praised, and you get this huge letter that you figured out how to make A go to B, but inside in yourself, you are just ecstatic that you figured this out and you accomplished it and you're ready to move on to the next thing.
Okay. So, you know, communication styles, they talk about that, the gratification, their learning, their experience and their knowledge base is what pushes them to go, want to go further, grow more. You know, and I agree with you in that regard. So what recommendations do you have for those who are technically focused today? And what can they expect their future to look like? Now, we've been dabbing into this somewhat, but let's talk about it from the points of programming. You touched on this earlier. You said machine learning. Talk to me about more. Tell the audience, you know, some more in regards to that, if you don't mind, Daryl. You were talking about machine learning. We're talking about programming, data mining. Is the extent of their capabilities of those people that are technically focused. What does it look like? What can they expect?
I would say to you, if you could get to even the basic levels of programming, if you could get to the analyst levels of data scientists, those are very good skills. Those are very good skills for the future, because you're going to need all kinds of, businesses are going to need all kinds of people who, you know, they don't have to be able to write software at the, most complicated levels, but they need to understand what the software is meant to do or understand how it's supposed to operate. Like everyone doesn't have to design, these big data, big data algorithms or you just have to be able to analyze or understand them or use them. And those tools need people who have skills. If anybody has those entry level skills, those are very good entry level skills for the next generation.
Okay. Now you said something to me, because I just completed DeVry and computer information. That's my gig right now. So I'm excited about that. And you're making me feel pretty warm and fuzzy there, Daryl.
Well, I'll give you something. I do teach introductory computer science courses at a community college. And this is what I tell students all the time. I just get yourself some level of certification, get yourself some level of competency in these areas. And then it'll open up opportunity. That's the thing. You know what I mean? You without some type of certification of associates, a bachelor's, you need to get there. And once you get there, opportunity opens. And these areas have lots of different, cybersecurity analysts, consultants, networking, investigators, forensics. There's tons of this stuff. Mm-hmm, so those, if you can get to that level, that's a good level to be at in this next generation.
I'm so giddy. I don't know what to say after that. Yes, I made a move. Right. All right. All right. Anything you want to add on to that, Eureka?
No, just that you don't have to be, a full-fledged PhD data scientist to get into this space. If you think about it, it's a process. So you need the project management skills. You need the personality, the presentation skills. You need to be able to kind of take a project and explain it in a PowerPoint deck or make some slides. So those type of skills are absolutely needed in this space, because a technical person would probably take a screenshot of all the code that they wrote and put it on a slide. Well, that's not going to translate to the average person that's looking at that slide. So you do both sides.
How did you know my last deck had a bunch of screenshots? How did you know that?
That's hilarious. You know what's interesting in my professional presentations course for the analytical it what's really interesting is that they will do that. They will just mm-hmm. put a screenshot and say, okay. And then they'll start out, okay, now you're messing with me, Eureka. So then they'll start out with, you all might not see this. Well, that's a bad thing because it's a PowerPoint slide, right? They had to get it all on. Anyway, all right. But that's an excellent point. So there are still additional skill sets that are necessary. And I'm glad you said that. When you think about project management skills, when you think about being able to present, when you're able to run the project from beginning to end, there are other bunch of skill sets that are necessary. Not that you can just code, not that you can just data mine, not that you can, you know, the technical side is an excellent entry point, but it doesn't stop there. And to your point that you all both have made earlier, you have to continuously grow in all aspects of being that great leader, especially we need those leaders out there. All right. So we talk about how technology touches everything. I heard you say that a few moments earlier. Give us an example, either one of you, give us an example of how technology propels business and what skills someone would need to truly make that connection. Either one of you, who wants to go first?
Elaborate on your question a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of what it is that you're asking.
So Daryl mentioned earlier machine learning. Talk to me about uh-huh. how that might propel the business and a skill that a person might need in regards to that. Some things, I mean, you all really alluded to it earlier, you know, some of the things, but I want you all to go a little bit further with that.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So Daryl, do you want to go or you want me to dive in?
Go first. Go ahead.
Okay, so you mentioned machine learning, and I don't know, I'm probably going to age myself, but you remember like the Jetsons back in the day where they had all this technology, favorite show, the robot doing everything for you. And it makes me think about the saying that machines are taking over. So the machine learning piece of this is going to eliminate a lot of mundane type of task that relied on a human to do that. You still have to have human oversight. So it's not going to take over everything. Companies will still have to have that human in the mix, but I don't need 20 humans. I may only need one. And so I think that that's one of the ways that we're seeing technology, even in factories. Think about factories back in the day. You had an assembly line with tons of individuals up and down the assembly line, adding this piece, adding that piece, and moving it to the next person so that they could add their piece. Well, now you have a machine that's mainly running that assembly line. You have a quality person in the end inspecting the work, but you do have, you don't need as many people anymore to produce items like you did 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. Eureka has it right. I mean, what happens is productivity comes, these new technologies change the ratio of people in a particular job. So you know, what'll happen is when the robots hit the factory floor, you don't need that many. You know, you don't need that many people on the factory floor. What you need are robot tuners and maybe some quality assurance people. Well, as this new, world of artificial intelligence come out, you're not going to need as many people to do those, you know, the things that the artificial intelligence replaced. You're going to need maybe people who understand the cybersecurity aspects of keeping this stuff safe or managing mm-hmm. the cybersecurity software, or, you know, that's why you need those basic, you know, computer, you know, kinds of skills or those basic project management types of skills, because you're delivering, you know, new AI software all the time on top of it. And so what happens is this new technology replaces the old jobs, and you know, what was, you know, something that was plentiful in the last generation will be, you know, less plentiful in the next, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to understand what those new jobs are going to be, what this new technology enables for new jobs.
Mm. This is excellent dialogue. I'm appreciating you all being frank with us out here, our audience, and knowing and just reminding our audience out there, you know, we're talking, our conversation today is all in regards to the three learning paths, business, leadership, technical, and we're focusing really on, and this is all under our skills development for 2020, education and skill development pillar. So today we are focusing on with these brilliant individuals that we have on the call, we're focusing on that technical learning, but I'm appreciating how it's evolving into other, the conversation is evolving into other things. You can be the guru when it comes to coding, but if you don't know how to share that, to Eureka's point, if you don't know how to share that in an effective way, you could lose opportunity there. And that's a great point. I like that. So I want to ask you, what are your thoughts, both of you? Let's talk about the security aspect of our technology areas today. So what are your thoughts on the advancements in our security areas in light of all of the incidents that's been taking place in regards to malware, the virus attacks out there? And that's for the people that are considering to go into that area. I think someone mentioned forensics earlier. So talk to me, Daryl, what's your thoughts on it?
It's, believe it or not, that's the new, it's a growing area. It's going to be the new area where, you know, countries attack countries, corporations attack corporations. There's a burgeoning business on security. I mean, this is cybersecurity related stuff. I mean, I would say to you that, you know, those types of, you know, ransomware attacks, bot attacks are, we deal with them today. I mean, I actually get hauled into meetings with security to deal with, you know, customers who haven't properly protected devices out on the internet, and they've been compromised by foreign actors and used to attack people. And I would say to you that is just, it's a great space to, or not a great space to, meaning it will be a great space for people to go work in. Because these companies aren't going to need Eureka was saying, you're not going to need, you know, foremen on a floor in a factory, but you will need people to analyze, you know, what's going on with your firewall or maybe consulting for a company who doesn't have those skills, or you know, recommending how to build a network, or you know, just all the that's where it's going to be. I would say to someone who is, you know, you don't have to be the guru. You just have to be able to understand this technology and be able to work it.
Mm-hmm. Eureka, thoughts?
Yeah. So this is kind of my space. I love this security space. I would say that Daryl is absolutely right, is that the technology is just as relevant in this space as in any other type of technical area. It's probably more important because companies, one of their main assets is their data. That's how they compete. That's how they create that competitive edge with other similar companies, is about how the data, how rich their data is. Even from a cybersecurity perspective, that's no different. You're going to have tons of attacks on your network daily. So many attacks that it's not going to be a human that's going to analyze that. It's going to have to be some type of technology that's processing and learning and creating different attributes and patterns that they're seeing, tweaking the alerts, because it may not be a cyber attack. It just may be something totally different. And if it keeps alerting on it, you want to be able to tweak that alert. So the protecting of your assets is going to be critical in this technology space.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is our greatest weakness when it comes to your last statement, Eureka, protecting the technology, protecting the resources and the tools and the equipment? What do you think is the greatest weakness out there?
I think it's more of, from my perspective, it's more of what you don't know. No one's trying to do anything malicious. An employee isn't doing anything malicious by downloading that data to their laptop. They're just trying to get their job done, but they don't understand the risk and vulnerabilities of a laptop. If you lost it, if it's not encrypted, or what that means. If you download customer data to your laptop and someone gets a hold of it, well, guess what? We just had a breach that we probably could have avoided. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that you hear those words security and compliance, and people cringe when they hear them, but they're very, very important in your day-to-day activities. Something as simple as sending an email outside of the company with proprietary data, proprietary information, that's going to be more and more important as more people have access to these things. You can remember in the past, you only had access to what you needed. Well, systems are so integrated and talk to each other. And so you may need access to six systems, but just because you have access to those six systems, that doesn't mean that you can be lax in the security and data protection space.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point. Thank you. Daryl, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no. All I was going to say is those six systems are probably on the cloud, and when they're on the cloud, you get a hold of everything else that's on the cloud. So if they compromise your credentials, they get to access whatever's on that cloud. So yeah, she's right. Security really starts individually, and those that individual mistake of compromising some credentials can get a hacker into a lot of places. It is a tough battle, because it has to start at the individual level and work its way up.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is humans are still the greatest, possibly the weakest link. You are the weakest link, right? That's what, human beings. That's what we're still saying. Okay. I get it. That leads me to then my next question. What would you tell that non-technical person who wants to manage technology, who wants to manage a team? What would you tell that person, and what would you tell that technical person who wants to break out of the technology space? Daryl, let's start with you.
Let's talk about being a leader of people, and being a leader of people is dealing with people first. I mean,
yes,
it isn't. Technical people aren't different from other type of people. If you have the skills and understanding on how to deal with individual people with respect, and being able to grow and cultivate skills with them, you're going to be good at managing technical people. You might have to correct the view graphs every once in a while when they get a little wordy.
But with all the acronyms, with all exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's about people. So I will say to you, you don't have to be a technical person to manage technical people. You got to be the kind of person that respects people. You got to be the ones that learns how to grow them, make them feel respected, and provide them with good work. I mean, that's the other part of it. For the ones who want to break out of the technology space, it's going to be even, that's even better. I mean, I tell people all the time, once you have some of these skills, if you want to go somewhere else, you will always, technology is going to be the base of whether you're going to go into financial, if you want to go into the finance area, the healthcare industry, these same, technical, tenants are going to be around over there. So if you wanted to go out of the technology space into something else, into finance or something like that, the same things exist. So it's great skills. I mean, it's a great base set of skills if you can get underneath it. And I think, that this is, all right, like I said, I'm a dweeb. I think this is the best set of skills you can have.
Mm-hmm. Eureka, your thoughts?
I'll echo what Daryl said. For someone that wants to get out of the space, is that you developing a set of transferable skills that translate and transfer to any type of role is going to be very, very important. Everyone isn't technical. They don't think like a technical person actually thinks. So I think that that's one of the things is building putting as many tools in your toolbox that you can, that can transfer to other types of roles.
Mm-hmm. So now we're getting into another, we're transitioning to the next part of our conversation that I'm very interested to hear what both of you have to say. So A is for arts. That's been added to the STEM acronym, which now makes STEAM. So when it comes to technological innovation, how important is it to have creativity? And let's start with that question. Eureka, we've been talking a lot about that. Tell me your thoughts on that. How important is it to have creativity?
Oh, I think it's very important because the technology is so different, you have to be more creative when creating solutions for different types of things. And we talked earlier in the conversation about something as simple as a PowerPoint. Well, a person that's extremely like down in the weeds, that's technical, is not going to be able to translate something to a level for an executive type of briefing meeting. So that A to me just means the other side of your brain that you usually don't use in the technology space. It brings in more of the creativity, the creative minds and those types of things from the arts perspective. Mm-hmm. And I actually did not know that they added the A until this session. I was speaking with someone and they told me about the A. So I had to Google it. I'm like, oh, this makes perfect sense. And it broadens the net of the type of individuals that in that recruiting pool for positions.
Now, a lot of before I hear from Daryl, a lot of in data supports that when we're talking about that analytical, the individual that thrives in this area, technology area, they are risk averse. Would you agree with that, Eureka? Would you agree that they're risk averse? You know, we get labels, right? We hear labels all the time. Would you say that they're risk averse?
I wouldn't say that they're risk adverse. I think that they do tend to need the black and white type of information. They don't really see the gray. So when you're managing someone that's technical that can only see black and white, you may be blunt with that person and they could appreciate that because it's black and white. I'm not talking around the subject and they're having to decipher and absorb the gray. So I wouldn't say that it's risk averse. I would say that it's just their style and the way that right. the brain computes information. Zeros and ones.
I know a couple people like that. Hey, you know.
What's your thoughts, Zero?
Some of my best friends think in zeros and ones.
And that's okay. That's not a bad thing.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
I will say two things. I will first say you talked about the A in STEAM. I will point you to one industry where I think it's done very well. If you've ever watched these kids play video games, the art that goes into those games are incredible. Meaning, it's the case that it's not someone who thinks zeros and ones who make these things. I mean, they're there to write the zeros and ones. Don't get me wrong. But, someone's there with a different set of skills and they're on the team and their influence it's gotta be huge because those things are gorgeous. I mean, those things are, as artsy as movies. So I would say, say to you that, some of the best design software out there in the world you gotta have that A in there to be the top level. If you think about the video, these gamifications of softwares where they create little games out of making you trying to do the right thing, another type of thing where you're bringing that art into it all. And yeah, the next levels, the next generations of technology are going to have all these skills. I mean, everyone's going to be needed at the table to, you know, innovate and bring, you know, what will be like, you know, the next set of technologies to it. So I think there's room for all kinds of skill sets, and that's the way to do it. As for risk averse, I tend to agree with Eureka. The short answer is there's a bunch of people over in San Francisco area that take risks all the time on technology. They tend to be a little bit more. I agree there. They tend to be a little bit more. Give me the, you know, the puts and takes, the black and white part of this. But they're willing to take risks. They just aren't as, you know, artful at it. Like you said, I like your black, red, and gray now. They probably favor a little bit more black and white than they do, you know, where everything can be shaded. But they're there. I mean, it's there's going to be, you know, that's a place to be. If you want to be in Silicon Valley with this technology stuff, that's a great place to be. A lot of people dreaming up the next big ideas.
Now, Daryl, when I was teaching for T University, and Analytical once put it in a different light, he said what you said. He just said it differently. He said, we take risks, but they're a little bit more calculated than others. That was a funny. That was good, right?
Yeah. No, it's good.
All right. I thought that was a good way. Okay. All right. I'll move on. All right. So this is great talk, you know, because there's stigma, you know, that comes with this type of area. And I want the audience to know in the network, hey, you can be creative. You can think outside of the box in this field. So this is excellent dialogue. We've been really talking about our pillar 2020 education, skills development, and the network has their own skills development program, and it falls under this pillar, the 2020 education, skills and development pillar. So I want to, we've been moving into my next topic. Now, growing in the technology area is one thing. Learning, developing your skills, evolving, finding where you're passionate, finding where you can excel. That's all awesome and needs to happen. As leaders, when it comes to managing, I'm going to shift on you a little. As leaders, when it comes to managing technology, what have you in your field, in your areas, have found to be critical when it comes to leading that technical team? And really, what is needed to lead those teams in general? Daryl, let's start with you.
So I would say to you, leading, I have a saying, you know, there is when you lead technical teams, my goal is to, you know, first of all, you want really good people. Yeah, people think, oh, you know, why you have a lot of good people. Isn't that, don't you worry about that? The answer is no. I want every good person I could possibly find. You know, just if you're the best over there, I want you over here. And the reason is because if you're over here, you're doing good stuff for me, and that's even better. And maybe we can get even more done. So I want the best people I can always find. You know, and then as a leader of the self of a team. Yourself, you know, my goal is to go in and make sure they have very good work to do. And what I mean by that is, you know, I told you, we talked about the attribute of having that skill that wants to be on the edge, wants to learn the new things, wants to take in the new technologies. Those projects are, they're very competitive. You want to, you know, you got to be in the mix to go get those projects. You got to be able to go, you know, be there to get your foot in the door. And when you get your foot in the door, you got to get those projects and you got to give it to those people. And then you got to get out of the way. You got to let those really good people you put together go work and do the project. Because if you didn't go and get the good people in the beginning and you don't let them do the work, then why are they here?
Right.
And, you know, as a manager, your next job is to guess what? Go out and get some new work. Go out and find the next hot topic. Go out and get the next technology. Bring that in and go and do that work. That type of skill has worked for me for a long time in managing technical teams. You know, my result is I spend a lot of time, you know, auditioning out and trying to find the next big thing. But the teams who work for me really enjoy the fact that there's a lot of good work out there and they can do it.
It is vast. I agree with you on that. Any thoughts you want to add, Eureka?
No, I think Daryl hit it right on the money there. Is that you may not, I will say this, is that I don't see myself as the most technical person on the team, because I sit in chief security office, but mm-hmm. to someone in finance, I am like extremely technical.
You're zeros and ones. You're zeros and ones.
So I will say that finding that you want a team that complements each other. I think that diversity in a team really, really makes that team thrive, is that you having that diverse type of skill set within the team where they lean on each other for their strengths and weaknesses. So I echo what Daryl said.
And mm-hmm. that's true. But you said you can't have all the same type of person. You really
right.
can't.
Right.
You gotta have if you have everybody who's the ball hog in a basketball team, no pass it gets stuck. So yeah. you gotta mm-hmm. have people who like passing. You gotta need some people who like shooting and like some people who like rebounding. You can't have all shooters. You can't have all rebounders. You can't have all passers. So you gotta have a team that complements each other. And right. You're right. That combination is critical. And mm-hmm. I'm glad you crossed over finally to the zeros and ones side of the equation.
That's good. All right. Last question that I have for you. Well, right before the last question, we've been talking about this and I want you to shift it in, you know, 30,000 foot view. Technology, we have discussed, it changes constantly. Let's talk about continuous learning in the technical space to remain relevant. You know, we talked about it from a point of getting in there. You know, even from a point of how do I make sure, though, that I stay relevant? Anything that you can share that's helped you outside of what you've already shared? Are there any additional things for our audience, we don't want to leave any stone unturned. Are there specific areas of technology that you would say are more dynamic, or is it a preference? You know, I'm going to change that question a little. Or is it a preference? Is that what makes it dynamic? And the final thing that in regards to this, when it comes to trying to stay on top, how would you recommend one go about that? Might be, you know, we might be diving into some previous conversations, but just to wrap it up for us today, let's start with you, Eureka.
So I would say it's staying abreast and getting ahead of the curve. And let me give you an example of mm-hmm. what I'm talking about is that security and privacy, the lines between those two are becoming more and more blurred. And I say that because the average consumer thinks privacy is security. So you have to kind of be able to gel the two. So for example, I'm in the cybersecurity space. My main role is around protecting the data security, they call it. But mm-hmm. it's really about the privacy angle as well, because the consumer isn't going to know that security means X, Y, and Z and privacy means A, B, and C. And mm-hmm. so you have to kind of, I see the need for that technical person to also understand in the technology space, we're heavily regulated. So you have yes. to understand the legal aspect of it as well. And so you have to be able to create that intersection to explain. And this goes back to what I said earlier, is that I'm on the phone with attorneys, with our legal team and chief privacy office, probably more than I'm on the phone with the technical side of things. And so one mm-hmm. thing that I've seen is that, okay, there's going to be a need for a technical person plus have the ability to understand the legal side of the house. So mm-hmm. what did I do? I had this bright idea and I applied to law school and got in. to a law school program around cybersecurity and privacy. So you have to kind of stay on the cutting edge to make yourself have a skill that differentiates you from the crowd. And whatever that skill may be, you may be great at setting up meetings with multiple people. That is a task in itself. It's trying to manage a calendar, but that's your core competency. That's what keeps you ahead of everyone else. So I would say that you have to kind of evaluate where the technology is going and how the technology is moving in your particular company, and navigate towards that, to make yourself different from the person that's sitting next to you.
Mm. Excellent. Excellent. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would add that, yeah, you have to do that skill differentiation. That is the key here, meaning, you know, in the world today, you can open up a, you know, go to some website and you can get thousands of people who want a job that looks a lot like you. And, you know, the trick here is going to be, what are the things you have that's going to make your name jump out among that list of people? And, you know, the things you need to think about are, certifications. If you can get some of these certifications in the technical areas to show where you are. Six Sigma, PMP, these are project management types of skills. Nano degrees, something that shows you've taken, coursework or serious thought to, a particular area that matches the direction of that job opportunity or that work opportunity. Those are the kind of things that I think, that will be relevant in the next round, meaning like that's what's going to keep you in the conversation. And then you got to have those special tiebreakers. You got to have that little, icing on top. You got to have that one or two things that make your name stand out. What did you do special here? What did you do with this technology? What did you do that made it, yours? Did you do some research in the area? Did you host a conference in the area? Did you present a paper at the area? You know what I mean? Those are the kind of things. And the degrees and the certifications will get you like on the list. You know what I'm saying? But then you got to be able to have that little, that little sprinkle on top that says, yeah, I have that certification, but I also did this one little thing here on top. And I recommend anybody to do that. That's the way to get known.
Yeah, the certifications are probably, I would say, and Daryl, you can tell me if you agree with this, that a certification kind of weighs more than a degree nowadays. as you are
what?
So...
Wait, what?
That's controversial, but you're so specialized in that space is that they're looking for those certifications.
Hold on. Wait, Eureka, hold on. I'm... At the 57 minute mark, you're going to say Oh my goodness. Okay. Finish that thought. This is it. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I just think that when you're reviewing a resume, that everyone nowadays has that bachelor's degree, and that but they don't have that additional oomph on their resume that makes them different from someone else. And I'll give you an example. For me, I'm usually all over the place with certification and things that I'm interested in. So because I was in the training space for years, I got a certification in HR. So I have a PHR. That's a human resource certification. Well, how does that translate into security? Well, guess what? We have employee data too. There are laws around and compliance regulations around how you treat employees. So it does help in that sense. With someone that is looking at my resume for a technical job, would I put that on there? Probably not. But because they would be scratching their head saying, why is this on there? But if I'm applying for something in the technical training space, that's an asset that I can bring forth.
Wow. That's a drop the mic moment if I've never heard one. No, I'm just kidding. Eureka, those are fascinating words. Daryl, do you want to add to that? You agree, disagree?
I would say in a world where, you know, you're comparing candidates that both have bachelor's degree and certification makes a difference. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair component. I think it doesn't replace some, you know, the degree part of this, but yeah, the certifications have become a language in which people talk about whether you have a particular skill set that you can't guarantee with, let's say, a bachelor's or you know, some experience that you don't have. It is really relevant. I mean, I have to agree because I hire people, and if you have a particular certification, I think more of it. So it's true.
Right. And I agree with you. All jokes aside, I agree with you totally. I think this has been phenomenal dialogue and discussion, and, you know, as a matter of fact, in a way, and really under our 2020 education skills development pillar, I believe this discussion, this dialogue that we've had today, especially for our audience under the network skills development program, it's going to be powerful. It's going to impact our audience and help them move forward. Keep that. If we've learned about STEAM today, we've learned about quite a few things. We've learned that certifications are powerful. For those of us that think that it might not be, it's powerful. And that's from one of your leaders that are in the business and excelling in the technology area right now. So as I wrap up our session today, Daryl and Eureka, one of the things I love to do is to allow my guests to just share one final thought, one final caveat, whether it's here's something good to know, you know, one more thing before I let you go, or if you just want to share what you have coming down the pipeline, what you are working on, just let your audience, getting to know you moment, if something you want to share with the audience, please take this time to do that. Let's start with Eureka first.
So the one thing that I would like to leave with is on the diversity topic. I am considered a unicorn, a Black female in a leadership position in technology. So for those Black African-American females, people of color in general, getting into this space may be hard. You are probably going to be the only female on many, many calls and many, many meetings, but you're there and you're creating and opening the door for others to kind of follow in your footsteps. So if you like this space, if you think this is something that you're interested in, I say go for it, full steam ahead, type of consideration to this, because you don't see a lot of Black females in the technology area and security areas specifically.
Mm-hmm. Daryl?
And I was going to say, I'm raising my own unicorn over here. So I have my high school daughter who I'm trying nice. To get to go right into the same field. And that is exactly the same thing I tell her, which is this is a great area to be in. If your skills align to it, don't blink. I mean, it's made a very good career for me, and it will make it, and there's a lot of opportunity. Don't be classed out to be thought that you can't do this stuff, because mm-hmm. I've met a lot of powerful, especially Black women, that go into this field. And mm-hmm. you know, once you're in it, once you understand the basics, like we just talked about, the ability to be on the edge, to be able to deal with the people, you know, understanding technology is a little bit black and white, and then other areas. I mean, in a zero and one sense of the word, I think it's a great field to be in. And the only thing I would just add is I'm glad we converted Eureka over. Now she's truly a techie. So I'm thrilled about that.
That's powerful. Well, I want to tell you, Eureka Cozy, Daryl Goins, it's been phenomenal. You all have been powerful in this moment. I believe our network audience will benefit from this conversation, and it will definitely help us move forward in the technology area. I want to thank you all, and we look forward to seeing everyone at the next Real Career Talk podcast. Have a great day.